This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. We are back on the air. This is Wells Tech, episode 405, broadcasting on August 11th, 2015 at 4 o'clock Central Time. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper from parts south in good old Mississippi. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. We're making the Wisconsin to Mississippi connection today, and hopefully my internet's going to be stable enough to make this happen. We'll see.
All right. I'm going to try and turn you down just a little bit because you're a little loud in my ear all the way from Mississippi.
Wow.
Tweak that just a little bit. I think we got it. Awesome. And we'll do the best that you can. You are on mom's Wi-Fi. So
that's right.
Our mileage may vary.
That's right. And I'm really curious. Everybody says when I come south, I tend to pick up the southern accent a little bit heavier. So hopefully you guys can understand me today.
Take the girl out of the country, but not the country out of the girl. Or the south out of something like that. You can take the girl out of the south, but not the south out of the girl, something like that. So
there you go.
Did you take your camera along just by any chance?
I took my favorite camera along, my phone. That's all that would fit in my luggage with me, but that's all I need. The best camera is the one in your pocket, right?
Right, the one that you have with you. Exactly right. So but that's what we're talking about these days on Wells Tech. We began a little summer series last week called Imagine, what is it? Imagine This, Imagine That, Imagine That. Where we're talking about all things photography, and we kicked it off in grand style, talking about stock photography, those pictures that other people have taken. Our topic this week is photography, those pictures that you take. So we'll be talking a little bit about all the options that you have and how to maybe take better pictures and all things like that. So where do we start? Maybe the why of taking your own pictures?
Yeah, I think that's a great place to start, Martin, because we did come up with a lot of great resources for just obtaining images through the web, through different stock photography sites. So why spend the time taking your own pictures? I think the primary reason is because you own those pictures and you don't have to worry about someone else's copyright privileges over them. They're things that you actually own copyright to when you take them yourself.
Yep. Not only do you take them yourself, but you get to pick what you do take. So in a church or school setting, you have the opportunity to kind of figure out who the subject is, what the subject is, what they're doing, frame the shots just like you like it, and then you take the shot, and obviously you own the pictures. You have some unique situations that might be something that you wouldn't find in stock photography that you'd want to capture. And then there's also that personal, component to it, where this is you guys, this is us, that you want to share, whether it be on the website or on a social network or whatever the final resting place is of the photo. You have a lot more options when you are taking it yourself.
You know, another reason to do it is because you might want to almost kind of use it like as a documentation tool, because you're going to end up having decorations in the front of the church for, Easter again next year. And so having photos to reference back to what you've done in the past is also a really valuable tool when you do that kind of thing on a regular basis.
Yep. So many reasons to go your own way, and it's kind of fun too. Mm-hmm. There is some neatness to finding a good stock photograph, but at the end of the day, there's nothing quite like your own. And I think everybody likes to take pictures. Not everybody likes to be in pictures, which we'll talk about in a minute, but I think everybody likes to take pictures. And with the advent of cell phones and smartphones, we've got some great gear and you have a lot of options. So maybe we should jump to that topic of the how of photography. How do you take pictures? And you have to start with the camera, of course. And there are kind of three big categories when you're talking about cameras. You have the smartphones, like we talked about. You have the good old point and shoots, which is what there only used to be. That was really your only option, is the good old point and shoot. And then today you have a whole category called the digital SLR, the DSLR category. So, Sally, you and I both have DSLR cameras. We decided to take the plunge and figure out what could be done beyond just the normal point and shoot. So the DSLRs are kind of the top of the heap, and there's a number of those out there. I think you have a Nikon, right?
That's right.
And I have a Canon. I recently switched to Sony, and there's a lot of different things out there to consider and in the DSLR category. So I found a couple of good articles that I wanted to share, and let me do that here quickly. The first article is about mirrorless versus DSLR. The DSLRs are kind of just a camera that mimics the old 35 millimeter cameras. So they have mirrors in them. There's a reflex action so that when you open the shutter, the mirrors move, and there's some moving parts still. But there's a new kind of camera, and that's what I just purchased from Sony, called a mirrorless camera. And I found a good article that talks a little bit about the differences. Of course, with DSLRs, some of the limitations that this article talks about are the size and the bulk. So you know, when you went from point and shoot to a DSLR, it's bigger, it's heavier, it weighs more. It talks about the complex mirror and shutter design. There's what's called a mirror slap, and you probably, when you take a picture or when you focus, you can hear that little slap. There's movement. There are some speed limitations, and this article goes into some nice detail about some of those. Then it talks a little bit about the mirrorless side, and one of the big benefits of going mirrorless is it's a smaller size. Since you don't need all those mirrors inside, it doesn't have to be as deep of camera, doesn't have to be as heavy, so it's a little bit lighter weight. There's no noise, no camera shake as a result. You get a little bit faster shutter speeds. You get live preview, and it can be a little bit cheaper than a DSLR. So there are some advantages. There are also some disadvantages, and those are in this article as well. The next question that you'll probably want to ask yourself is, do I buy a cropped sensor or a full-frame sensor? And Sally, the Nikon you have and the Canon I had originally had, both were probably cropped sensors. And I found a good article on what that means. But basically, the difference between a cropped and a full-frame sensor is the view that you get, when you open up the shutter, how much of it can you see? And if you're looking along at home, you can see quite a big difference between a full-frame sensor shot at maybe 50 millimeters or 70 millimeters and a cropped sensor. So you get more in the picture. There are definitely some advantages, but also disadvantages. For a full-frame sensor, which are going to cost you a little bit more, you're going to do better in low-light settings, which is almost always a challenge. So if you're in a church basement, you're maybe even in a church, low light may be a problem. You get better quality images with full frame sensors in low light settings, or if you have to increase what's called the ISO, which is essentially the amount of light that comes onto the sensor. But there are some advantages to the crop sensor, and that's one of them is light, or is cost. So they're a little bit cheaper. Sometimes you may want a crop sensor over a full frame. So the last article I wanted to share was let's see, where is it? No, I don't want to share anymore. Those are the two big ones, mirrorless versus DSLR and full frame versus crop. Those are the decisions that you're going to want to make when you're thinking about a DSLR camera or something like that. There are other considerations, but those are the big ones. So just a couple articles there.
So, Martin, you got a mirrorless camera, your new Sony. Is it also full frame?
Right. And that's okay. One of the advantages. So it's actually smaller than my old Canon. It's full frame and mirrorless. So it's lighter and it has interchangeable lenses. The point and shoots, though, which is the next category, those were all mirrorless as well. That's why they're so much lighter. But you have the crop sensor and you don't have, you typically don't have full frame in those smaller point and shoots. I did find a good article from CNET, a good review on maybe a couple of suggestions for point and shoot. They recommend, did I just close the whole browser window? I bet I, oh, here it is. They recommend, if I can open that one up, where are we here? The Canon PowerShot XS600. So you can see that it's a lot cheaper. It's below $400, you're in that $400 range for a very nice camera. And Canon is a good quality vendor. Panasonic makes a good point and shoot as well that they recommend. But this is a fairly recent review earlier this year. So the XS600 HS is probably one that you want to look at if you're looking at something in that category. So
that doesn't look like any point and shoot I've had before. They usually have like the little lens that telescopes out whenever you turn it on or whatever. Not yep. Something that looks as fancy as that. That's right. Pretty nice.
It is. Yep.
Getting better and better all the time.
Absolutely. So yeah, they're hard to distinguish between at this point. Now the difference between a point and shoot and like a DSLR is you don't have interchangeable lenses. So you're just going to have the one lens that is attached to the camera that you buy and you have to go from there. So your images are going to, you can see the difference, but it really will depend, Sally. If you're looking for a camera, you have to determine what kind of photographs you want to take. So if they're just for maybe a website, something like that, that doesn't have to be that high resolution. So megapixels don't really matter. You still want some good lighting and you want to take advantage of maybe some of the higher end features, but you may be able to get away with a point and shoot, or some of the cameras that are inside your smartphone may be good enough as well. The new iPhones just have awesome cameras.
Yep. And you're coupled with always having it with you. Again, that concept of the camera that's with you. I love my Nikon, but traveling this summer when I'm trying to just use carry-on bags, I can't carry along an extra bag with my Nikon and all the lenses and everything I need to do it right. And so it helps to have a camera with you that can do the job for you. And I've found quite often my iPhone will do a decent job and take a nice enough picture for me. So,
yep. And I would say in my experience, the better camera phones are on the Apple devices. I've used a number of Android devices and usually that's the weakest link there is. Mm-hmm. It's the camera. I like the phones better actually on the Android side, but for whatever reason, from whatever manufacturer, the camera phones are not as good as you can get on an iPhone. I think they still lead the pack. Now, some of the more recent kind of flagship phones that you're going to find from Samsung, the S6 has a particularly good camera, apparently. I haven't tried one, but that's what the reviews say as well. But you're going to pay a premium for that as well. So,
sure. So besides how in terms of which camera to use and what features you want on your camera, the other side of how is just how to take a decent picture.
Right.
And
you got all the gear.
A simple task. Exactly. I know you've gone and taken some photography courses, haven't you, Martin?
Right. That was kind of an in-person course, which was awesome. Got a chance to meet with other wannabe hobbyists, photographers, and got to learn from the experts. And they taught you not only how to use the camera, but they also taught you how to frame a shot, where to look for shots, those kinds of things. I like landscape photography, so this is kind of the class that I took was up in Door County, and it was a a time when the leaves were changing. So it was in October. So lots of beautiful, beautiful shots. But there's an art to all kinds of photography, whether it's shooting people or events, those kinds of things. I would suggest maybe going to your local camera store and seeing what kind of classes are available, or your local community college. You can sometimes get photography classes there. It's a really popular thing, and so chances are good that in your area there's going to be some kind of face-to-face photography class that you could take and get a start with that kind of thing.
There's also lots of opportunities to learn online. We certainly could recommend lynda.com. You could search YouTube just in general for your camera brand or something. You might come across videos there that are specific to your camera brand and model and that kind of thing. But also there's lots out there. We want to include links to B&H Photo. They have a series of tips and things that they've put together. And also Adorama. Martin, you've mentioned that before on the show.
Great site. Now, these are vendors, of course. They want to sell you equipment. But I think they do a pretty honest job of rating the equipment and at least showing it off what it can do.
So plenty to learn. Mm-hmm. So you've got the great equipment. I guess the final question would be, what should you take pictures of? And obviously, the sky's the limit. You can take pictures about anything out there, but maybe being focused on church and school photography, you might want to photograph events and things like that, especially in your church and school, maybe designating a photographer or two or a group of people to cover your events is a good idea.
Yep. Find that person who has kind of got a knack for it, who understands how to use a camera, is not afraid to kind of dive in there and get photography or get photos from the event, but just don't leave it to chance that, well, somebody's going to take pictures. Whenever you have an event like VBS or whatever that you know you want photos from, that you want to post on the website or social networks or wherever, make sure somebody at least is responsible for that. And if other people take pictures, great, and encourage them to share those with you if you're the one responsible for getting those photos up on the website. Maybe even give them a place to upload them, rather than just email them to you. So that's easy enough to set up as well.
It's funny you mentioned VBS. I was thinking actually about Camp Philip, which is similar to a VBS kind of mindset. Camp Philip does a really great job with photography. They have someone dedicated to it. And one of their takeaways from camp is by the end of the week, they've compiled like a video slideshow of the entire week with many, many photos from all of the events that happen at their kids' week at camp. So all the parents are eager to capture that memory and take home a disc of photos and things. We did similar things in our congregation where someone was dedicated to taking pictures during VBS and capturing the spirit of all of that was happening. And then we ended with a closing program and showed the slideshow, and the kids loved it. The parents loved it. It's just a really great way to kind of capture that energy and then turn around and use it the next year as promotional type things for your next VBS event or whatever it may be.
Right. Maybe a couple other tips that we could provide. Not that we're great experts, but we do read and take a few photos. But we know what we like as well. I would say when you're capturing photos, try and get as close as possible, especially when you're talking about people. I think photos come alive when you're trying to capture emotion, not just the fact that there's a crowd. You're not just trying to take a family photo where you line them all up and you position them. I think it's good to get as close as possible and capture as much facial expression as possible so that there's some interest, some visual interest in the photo, and people kind of get a sense for what it was like to be there versus just the fact that there was 100 people there or that there was 20 kids in the class, something like that.
Yeah, I can remember some really good ones that have a lot of color in them, just looking for opportunities to capture mixes of colors and things really makes images more exciting to view and stuff. So it's another component.
Yep, another tip is be careful about privacy. We've talked about this many times. You may want to think about putting out a permission or a release form for those people that are in the photo. And obviously there are concerns with kids in photography, and we've got a page on our wiki, our Wells Tech wiki, that talks a little bit about that, has some release forms, has some conversation about or some advice about privacy for kids and those things that you can do to protect yourself and to protect them. So that's something that you want to be careful with.
Very good. You know, one thing I thought of, I immediately thought of Pinterest because there's always fun imagery to look at on Pinterest, but I also thought about some websites and movements that are dedicated to challenging your photography by giving you specific things to photograph. So participating on that might kind of sharpen your skills or just give you more opportunity. And the more you take pictures, the more time you invest in trying to refine your photography skills, the better you will be. And you know, Martin, as we brainstormed and talked about this, we kind of thought, wow, it would be neat if you did that in a congregation, if you got a group of like-minded people that were interested in photography and put together a challenge of that sort, so that through the church year you gathered pictures of events, of activities, of the seasons of the church year. And you know, kind of brainstorming and bouncing off of that idea, we actually came up with our own idea for a photo challenge for Wells Tech.
Yep, we're going to call it the Wells Tech Photo Challenge. Sally, you've been good enough to put together a page for us that can collect all these things. But really the goal is to get everybody thinking about photography over the course of the next 12 months. All of our Wells Tech listeners and viewers, you probably all have cameras. I think you probably all want to use them better. So we wanted to be an enabler for that and do one of these challenges for Wells Tech. Kind of fun. We're going to create a Flickr group, and we're going to add these photos to that Flickr group, and they'll be public domain. So when you contribute something, it's going to be something that will be usable by other people. So we want to create a nice collection. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah, we put together this Flickr album, and we are going to give you a challenge each month. So already in August, even though August is halfway over, we'd like for you to take photos of stained glass and outdoor scenes and submit those. We'll have a link in the show notes. The URL is wellstech.wells.net/photo-challenge, and you're going to find information about the challenge and then a form where you can upload your images for us to use on the site. And as a bonus, if you want to send us your address, we'd be happy to send you a Wells Tech screen cleaner for your contributions to the photo album.
So. That you could probably use on a lens or glasses or your smartphone or your computer screen. Nice orange branded Wells Tech screen cleaner. So for your contribution. That's not all, though, that you might get if you contribute. And one of the things that are two of the things that you might win, we're doing just kind of a little giveaway. If you contribute anything to the photo challenge, we're going to put you in a drawing to potentially win a Photo JoJo lens series from the Photo JoJo store. We've talked about Photo JoJo before. They make all kinds of smartphone accessories. Whether you have an iPhone or Android, they have little lenses that you can put on that would allow for maybe macro photography, so close-up photography, or zoom lenses or wide angle, those kinds of things. So they've got a nice sampler set that you could win for any submission. Then if you submit at least one image a month, the grand prize would be from Oloclip, and they have some really cool clip-on lenses specifically for iPhone. I don't know if they do for Android. They must. But kind of a nice 4-in-1 lens so that you can clip this thing on and you have all kinds of options to get more out of your smartphone camera. So it basically adds a little lens on top of it. And these things are really cool, Sally. I know you've used these in the past.
Yeah, and this is not just a one-month thing. We're going to do this for 12 months. So right. Like we said, throughout the entire church year, and we'll have challenges that relate to churches and schools, as well as some more general images like our outdoors challenge for this month. You can upload images for both of the challenges in the month or multiple images, whatever you want to contribute. And we hope over time we're going to have a nice photo library that many people can make use of in their churches and schools. So kind of our own stock photography library that's public domain. Yep.
We didn't talk about rules, Sally, but one rule that strikes me, part of this photo challenge, is you actually have to take the photo in the month prescribed. These can't be photos you took a year ago. All right. Does that make sense?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Got to have some rules. So the whole point of this is to get out there and take some photographs. So again, August is stained glass and outdoors.
Outdoors.
Yep. Mm-hmm. wellstech.wells.net/photo-challenge. So our own little photo challenge for you. So join in on the fun.
Looking forward to it.
All right, let's move on to the next segment of our show, and that's our picks of the week.
And I guess I'm up first, and I will tell you that my pick of the week is something I'm living right now, and that is the fact that my husband is currently building a 3D printer. This is because of WellsTech, actually, because at WellsTech conference, he had a conversation with Jason Schmidt, and Jason sent him these plastic parts in the mail. They actually are parts that he printed using a 3D printer as part of the RepRap project.
So he's building a 3D printer with 3D printer parts.
3D printed parts, exactly. It's kind of basically. And hopefully it's going to end up looking like the one I'm showing you on the screen. And actually, he's made some pretty good progress. I'll have a link in the show notes if you're interested in following along with his efforts. He's getting closer to that look. He actually has X and Z axes in place, and he told me last night he had the printer head attached. So it's beginning to take shape down here along the bottom. There's going to be a print bed heated, and he's ordered 4 different motors for it, and hopefully very soon it's going to look something like the one on the screen. So that took me to a cool website called Thingiverse, Martin, and maybe we've talked about this once on the show, but Thingiverse is a place where people share their 3D printer designs. And so, you know, I had to kind of figure out what is it we're going to do with this 3D printer if and when we can actually build it and get it working.
It'll actually print something.
Exactly. Lots of cool ideas here. Chess sets and Apple Watch holders I don't know, all kinds of stuff. Bears, if you want to print 3D bear parts. So, I think he's closing in on it. We're looking forward to having a 3D printer at the Draper household. Maybe I'll figure out something Wells Techy. Anyway, that's my pick of the week, the Thingiverse, and all the cool RepRap information.
So speaking of Draper projects, did the drone project ever get completed, finished, up in the air?
It's making progress.
Well, that's still going, too. Okay.
Software is challenging, but they are definitely working on that this summer. So hopefully.
Never a dull moment in the Draper household.
Oh, too many electronics going around these days, it seems.
All right. My pick of the week is, if I can find it here, is an article, actually a tutorial. It's called The Ultimate Beginner's Introduction to Exposure. It's from Tuts Plus. It's kind of a paid for, it's one of those services that we were talking about learning how to shoot good pictures. This is an excellent, one of the best tutorials I've ever seen on exposure. And exposure, photography is all about the light. You probably have heard that from every photographer. And this is just an awesome tutorial on how to capture good pictures by thinking about the tools that you have at your disposal through your camera. And there are basically 3 main tools that you would use to capture a good picture. One is aperture, one is shutter speed, and one is ISO. So aperture is, this article obviously goes point by point through it. It's how wide the lens opens. So if your lens opens really wide, it brings in more light. Not as much, doesn't. And then, of course, shutter speed, and that's how long the lens stays open and when to do that. And then finally, the last one is ISO, which is the sensitivity of the sensor, or in the old days, film, to light. So if you got a high ISO, it's very sensitive. It's a low ISO, it's not as sensitive, so the lens needs to stay open longer. Excellent article. And you'd think, well, why do I need to know this? When even if you use a point and shoot, or even in some smartphones, you have these settings available to you. You can set the aperture, I think, in with certain camera apps on your iPhone or on your Android phone. You have to understand some of this to know what kind of settings to mix and match to get the best possible image into the camera. So this is just one of those articles that you want to bookmark and read and reread to make sure you understand. They give nice examples here of pictures that they've taken at different settings. So they increase the aperture on a shot, and they'll show you what that did to the background, or what they call the depth of field and the clarity of the image. They tell you how fast the shutter speed was, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of great examples here, and worth the read if you're interested in kind of learning more about how photography works and how light works with your camera. So that is from Tuts Plus, and we'll have a link in the show notes.
Excellent. Those are the kind of topics that make me shy away from my camera a little bit. So having a good tutorial would be a good benefit.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely worth the read for everybody who's interested in photography at all. So, Sally, we should move along to our community feedback section.
And we have a good amount of community feedback to share today, Martin. Actually, some that we're kind of catching up on because of all of the excitement of Wells Tech Conference and Synod Convention. There were a few things that I let slip through the cracks. So forgive me, Pastor John Bauer, who's from Good News Lutheran Church in Mount Horeb, Wisconsin. Pastor Bauer wrote to us and said, I saw the Microsoft 365 nonprofit announcement for Wells Tech, on the Wells Tech website, and he looked into it and he wondered about their non-discrimination policies, things like that are part of their licensure agreements, and where we might stand in regard to that.
Right. So, very similar to a conversation we had about Google Apps, same mm-hmm. kind of language. Would refer back to maybe that show to talk about or to listen in on kind of the conversation there. There's no definitive yes or no. There are certainly considerations, and there's a legal conversation to be had there, but ultimately that choice is going to be yours to make.
Right. And just the fact that because of being a religious organization, we are following our policies doesn't mean that they're discriminatory or whatever. I mean, we're following the policies we have the right to follow within our religious organizations.
Right. Yeah. And the government recognizes that as well. Mm-hmm. So at least mm-hmm. right now they do.
Right. All right. Another email that we received was from Pastor Jim Aderman, one of the attendees at Wells Tech Conference. And he, first of all, expressed how much he enjoyed it and the valuable ideas he came away with. I'm right there with you with Pastor Aderman. I learned a lot at Wells Tech Conference as well. Lots of good ideas shared there. He had the idea of continuing the conversation with some more face-to-face kind of meetups, perhaps even something they might call an intersections breakfast concept. And he kind of mapped it out a little bit, what he was thinking, but just basically a regular meetup time for people perhaps in the Milwaukee area, greater Milwaukee area, that might want to come together and just have conversations around technology and ministry. I think he's got some really great ideas going there, Martin. The challenge is finding the right people to get behind it and kind of get the ball rolling and stuff, because that's certainly kind of beyond the scope of what we're able to do in two different states and things. So,
yep. And if somebody wants to get something like that started, I would stand behind it 100%. We would promote it. We'd put it on the website. There are some great tools out there. I think it's even been a pick of the week of mine or yours. I don't remember which, called Meetup, mm-hmm. where you can use that tool to to get people aware that an event exists, and there's an RSVP mechanism, there's a mobile app, all kinds of options within the Meetup tool, and totally free. So if you want to take a stab at that, there's all kinds of things, and people can search for meetups by location, by affinity type, etc. So that's Sally's, those of you that are listening at home, Sally's showing the Meetup homepage. And apparently this is a meetup of pug lovers, because every person in the photo at this meetup has a pug in their arms. So that's pretty cute. That's probably why they picked that picture.
Yeah.
I love pugs. We had pugs when I was growing up. So little known fact.
All right. Moving on then, we had several people that left us some great links on the DIGO website, starting with Pastor Emil Burgess, who serves at Trinity in Caledonia, Wisconsin. And he noticed that Logos recently announced a new source for free Logos training. And you can get to it from their website by just going to support and clicking on Logos Pro Training. And it'll land you on this page. There's an overview video and then lots and lots of different training videos that they've laid out for you. So I'm guessing, knowing how complex and powerful the Logos system is, those of you that use it could always learn more about Logos and tap into more of the capabilities to enhance your Bible studies and things with the tools that are available there. So definitely head over to the Logos website and check out their Logos Pro training. Martin, this one is actually off the map, because we also heard from Pastor Emil Burgess within the last few minutes. And I just happened to glance at my email and see that he actually sent us some more text expander snippets. Oh. That'll be exciting to add to our Wells Tech Wiki. Emil wrote just a little bit ago, "Hey guys, you're probably getting ready for today's live show. Blessings on it. Looking forward to more good stuff in the Imagine That series." He says, "I finished a couple of more snippet groups, one for Christian worship supplement hymns and psalms, and another for some general ministry stuff." And there's info in the files for each, some basic information. Nothing too complicated about these snippets. I didn't do all the books of the Bible, just the longer ones. I chose not to do the full service of Word and Sacrament, but just the Word and Sacrament service, since I use the latter and other writing, and it's not too much just to type out service of in the abbreviation. For the catechism, the abbreviations, he decided to use CAT because it's more memorable than something like SC for small catechism, and lots of other great stuff here. So expansions for Christian worship supplement, hymns and psalms, and then other notes and things about those expansions. So I can't wait to load these up on the Wells Tech Wiki and share them with our listeners. I think Emil has provided a great service to our audience.
Service, yeah. Those of you that didn't listen, I think this was a couple shows ago. Maybe it was last week. I don't remember at this point, where he shared some tools that could be used with a tool called Text Expander. And he's got the entire hymnal, basically, at this point, in there, where Text Expander or the Windows side Phrase Express allows you to just type a couple characters, and it will be replaced automatically by whatever's in that snippet. So it could be, 10, could be a 3 or 4 character shortcut that would ultimately turn into a 10-verse hymn. So Great stuff. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he's added to the list there.
Definitely. Thanks for sharing, Emil. More people shared with us via DIGO. Next up, we want to share a few articles from Jason Winjet. He's found an article called "The Sermon Podcasting Toolbox, Tech and Tools." So it actually walks you through creating sermon podcasts, different hardware options you could use, how to get microphone sound into your system, things like that. They've got tips on recording and editing your podcast, including listing everything from Audacity to Adobe Audition, and then where to host your sermon podcast and how to distribute your sermon podcast. So it kind of walks you through the entire process of creating and feeding a sermon podcast so that you regularly audio via social networks and things like that. So looks like a really good article. Also, Jason shared an article that fits right in with our Imagine That series. I wish I had found it last week when we were looking for stock photography, but I'll definitely go back and update because there are 12 top quality-free church graphics and resources. And so he's listed a lot of sites that we included, Martin, and then some that we weren't familiar with. Like Creation Swap was on our list, but I didn't know about Vintage Church Resources. And apparently LiveChurch.tv has a whole selection of open imagery and things that you can use. So lots of good options here. I'm excited to add them to our list from last week and expand it even more on the church side with quality free resources that are available out there. So thanks for that link, Jason. Really, really appreciate that. All right, next up, a couple that I tagged. This first one is from my friend Richard Byrne, who blogs at Free Technology for Teachers and is always full of great ideas. This particular one is called 12 Good Resources for Teaching Digital Citizenship. And it's actually in PDF format, and they kind of walk through different age groups and different resources you might use to teach digital citizenship, from young to middle school and upper grades. And I think it's a great resource and perhaps one that is very timely, as many people consider back to school time a good time to implement a program like that, maybe start the school year with some guidelines around digital citizenship and expectations for the students in terms of using technology in the classroom. So hopefully that's a benefit to some people. The other thing that I tagged was an easier way to freeze Google rows and columns and Google Sheets. And I should have a Google Sheet open. Perhaps I'll table this one until next time. There's a video here and you can watch the video. It's just a minute or two long and figure it out for yourself. But it's easier to show you than to tell you. It's easy to do in Google Sheets and it'll save a lot of time if you do it the way that's promoted from the guru. So maybe tune in next week and I'll have a Google Sheet open and show you how to do that.
Cool. Yeah, very useful feature that Excel has had for a long time. So this is a definitely a welcome addition.
And then finally, I found a tweet from our friend Jason Schmidt, who said he just found out about this, and his comment is, "Holy buckets of awesome." And if Jason thinks it awesome, I think it's awesome too, because we've talked before about Seesaw, which is student-driven digital portfolios, and they can do it on any device, basically sharing what they're learning very easily and intuitively. And what Jason was most excited about is the fact that Seesaw's made a lot of updates for this new school year. So there was an announcement, we'll have a link in the show notes, to all the different things that they've improved about Seesaw and integration that they've added with Google Apps and things. So yeah, if you're a Seesaw user or you're looking for a way to do student-driven digital portfolios, maybe you want to check Seesaw out, especially with all the enhancements that Jason's so excited about. Going to do it for community feedback for this week, Martin.
If you'd like to contribute to the show, it's so easy to do. Just go to wellstech.wells.net, and at the top right of your screen, you'll see all kinds of icons. Some of them will look very familiar. Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Google Plus. Is Google Plus still even on there? Did we take that off?
It's on there.
It's on there. Google Plus, of course. Digo. You can leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email. WellsTech@Wells.net. You can join the listserv, just all kinds of ways to join the community, which we would love it if you would. So take some time, share some of the things that you're doing or share some of the questions that you might have, and we will incorporate those into the show and make the show better, because that's, I think, what really makes this show is the participation in the community around our Wells Techers. So please do that. Sally, we're going to continue our Imagine That series by talking about what you do with these images. You need to sometimes make these images into something different, a different size, a different shape. You maybe need to add text. You maybe need to Take Red Eye out. There's all kinds of image editing tools that we're going to talk about. Some of them very, very cool. I know one of them is your very best favorite tool in the world. You'll have to wait to hear what that is until next week when we talk about image editing.
Big monkey grin giving it away.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for the week. Sally, you enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thank you so much for taking time out of that vacation, being down there in Mississippi with family. Get back to that family fun stuff and safe travels back.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to seeing you next week.
All right. Blessings to our audience, and we hope to see you next week as well. Bye-bye.